الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد all praises due to Allah and as such we praise Him we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment the Shaykh began his khutbah by saying we've been waiting for the arrival of this opportunity which is that of the month of Ramadan and each probably has intended to rectify his or her condition in that blessed month and we probably took a covenant with ourselves that we will give this month its due right by repenting to Allah a sincere repentance and by shedding a hard tear and a soul that is looking forward to this month. But every time we have these intentions, the shaitan gets involved and then the month goes out without us fulfilling these promises which we have made to ourselves. And so we get hot and righteous for the first few nights and then we waste the rest of the month as we had been before the arrival of Ramadan. And our righteous predecessors used to look forward to the arrival of this month way before its time. And he mentioned that they would actually make dua, start making dua that they will attain Ramadan 6 months prior to its arrival and then afterwards they will continue to ask Allah for the next 6 months that Allah accepts their worship in Ramadan. So their whole life was almost revolving around Ramadan in terms of acceptance and being able to live till the coming Ramadan. It's the month of blessings and bounties and generosity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how sweet are these days that are full of remembrance and obedience. And how beautiful are these nights full of light for those who seek Allah's pleasure and those who are looking to repent to Allah. Then he quoted the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, interpretation of the meaning in English, the month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Qur'an, guidance for mankind, and clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion. So whoever witnesses the month, meaning he's not traveling and he sights the crescent, then let him fast. And whoever is ill, sick or on a journey, then a number of days are to be fasted to make up for those that are missed in Ramadan. Verily Allah intends to make things easy for you and Allah does not want to make things difficult for you. And so you may complete the number of days and magnify Allah for having guided you and that so you may show thankfulness and gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the most virtuous of months and the most beautiful of days. The righteous people are always in having a conflict with Ramadan for being absent for too long and for remaining for a short period of time. And so then he quoted some poetic verses which basically indicate how the loved one, just like a loved, you wait for your loved one. As a person waits for his loved one, then the righteous people wait for the arrival of Ramadan. The Shaykh said, beloved brother, Ramadan is an opportunity from the last of opportunities which contains means of sins to be expiated and the forgiveness of sins. And how often do these opportunities come about while we don't pay attention? And these opportunities carry the eternal happiness and bliss. So where are those who are looking forward to the month? And where are those who will compete to seek Allah's pleasure? Siyam, fasting is a school in which the Muslims attend. And so they train themselves to be successful and to attain the blessings of Allah. Yes, it is the month of blessings and mercy. Ramadan is the month of obedience and seeking nearness to Allah, righteousness, goodness, forgiveness, mercy, and the pleasure and being protected from the hellfire. And the hadith of Abu Hurairah in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Ramadan arrives, the doors of Jannah are open, and the doors of the hellfire are closed, and the devils are chained. And in another narration, with an addition, it says, and if it is the first night of Ramadan, the devils are chained, and the most wicked among the jinn. And the doors of Jahannam will be closed, not even a door will be open. And then a caller will call out, O seeker of goodness, proceed. And O seeker of evil, desist. And Allah will protect people from the hellfire, and that is every night. Fasting rectifies the souls, and it causes you to gain praiseworthy characteristics, and staying away from that which is corrupt. And through fasting, sins are forgiven, and good deeds are increased. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of belief in Allah and seeking Allah's reward, then he will have his past sins forgiven. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further said, the five daily prayers, and the Friday to the Friday, Jumu'ah to the Jumu'ah, and Ramadan to Ramadan are means of expiating the sins between them, so long as the major sins are avoided, meaning the minor sins will be forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a hadith, in another narration which the Shaykh mentioned, the trials that the man goes through with his family and wealth and neighbors are expiated through fasting, through prayer, afwan, fasting and sadaqah. And this hadith is agreed upon. Furthermore, he mentioned a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there are three whose supplication will not be rejected: the fasting person until he breaks his fast, the righteous, just ruler, and the one who is oppressed. This is an opportunity. So what kind of Ramadan will be your Ramadan? This is the ni'mah of Ramadan, the bounty of this month. So what are you doing? And what will be your condition in this month? Have you, my brother in Islam, prepared yourself for the moment? Have you done what one does when a guest arrives? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he used to say to his companions, verily the month of Ramadan has come unto you, a blessed month, which Allah had made obligatory on you to fast. The doors of Jannah are open, and the doors of the hellfire are closed, and the devils are chained. And in it is a night which is far better than 1,000 months. Whoever is deprived of that is ultimately deprived. Whoever is deprived of Laylatul Qadr is ultimately deprived. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give glad tidings to his companions about the arrival of the month, so they may prepare themselves mentally and spiritually for the arrival of the month. And so they may be in a condition which they will take proper advantage of the month before it leaves. Mu'alla ibn al-Fadl said that the righteous predecessors used to mention what I mentioned to you earlier, that they used to supplicate to Allah 6 months prior to Ramadan that Allah will allow them to reach it, and then 6 months afterwards asking Allah to accept their worship during the month. Yahya ibn Kathir said, he used to say in his supplication, O Allah, keep me safe until Ramadan comes, and keep me safe in Ramadan, and then accept from me whatever worship I do in the month. Brothers and beloved brothers in Islam, the fact that one Ramadan comes after the other is an indication that the time is going by fast, and that soon enough you will be listening to the caller of death. And just last year around, we were having something similar. And you know, just every year it just seems that everything is just moving too quickly. And so he then mentioned some poetry dealing with the fact that death will come, and the young person does not realize that he is young before he reaches old age. And then the old person soon enough will also be moving along into the life to come. Worshippers of Allah or slaves of Allah, this is the month of honor and dignity. This is the month of jihad and victory. This is the month of seriousness and determination. Here it has come to you. So have this ummah removed the dust that has laid upon it due to its negligence. Is it a time that we remove ourselves from this humiliation and disgrace? There are things here that he scratched off which he didn't use. Then he mentioned, O Muslim, from the bounties of Allah upon you is that He has given you a lifespan which extends until this moment. Now quite frankly, the context of the khutbah is as if we are already in Ramadan. But the truth of the matter is, we're not. Until Maghrib today, which you may live to see or you may not, we're not really in Ramadan yet. We're just there, but not quite. So the context is as if we have made it already. But the reality is we have not made it already. So I cannot translate this as having made it when we haven't made it yet. If you live till Maghrib, then all this is applicable. Until then we still may die before Ramadan. And if you die today, you're not considered to have died in Ramadan unless Maghrib has come in, which is the 30th of Sha'ban is over, and officially it is the first night of Ramadan, then tomorrow will be the first day of fasting. But Taraweeh begins tonight, which means that Ramadan begins at Maghrib. Because in Islam, the night precedes the day. It's the night first, then the day. But either way, the idea is if you live until Maghrib, then you should be thankful to Allah that He gave you, He allowed you to live up until that moment, while many others have been taken away prior to that. And actually just a brother of ours, his mother just passed away yesterday. And you just hear so many people dying in Sha'ban. SubhanAllah, it's just amazing how often people die before Ramadan, even though they may have been looking forward to the arrival of Ramadan and hoping that they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly in this month. Then he mentioned another reminder. O slave of Allah, male and female, is Ramadan coming upon you while you are in the state of strength and health? How many persons had enjoyed that in the prior year with a good health and strength and able to carry out the acts of worship, but this particular year he is lying in a bed in some hospital, unable to leave even his bed due to the illness? Are you one whose Ramadan has come upon while he is in the state of security and peace among himself, among his family, and among his wealth? O servant of Allah, you who is living life of tranquility and peace and benefiting and utilizing the goodness and the bounties of Allah, imagine yourself one of these individuals who are fasting while they are war captives, and or those who are having suhoor and iftar at some borders, or while being held by the enemies. Imagine yourself one who is forced to break your fast in order to defend the honor of Islam and the Muslims. Imagine yourself hungry and kicked away at some door, as it is happening to our brothers, the Muslim brothers in Palestine, and of course in Afghanistan and other places, and other Muslims in other places. Those who are suffering from pain of being held captive and being deprived of peace, and the kuffar and the disbelievers are at their case, harassing them on daily basis. Ramadan is a month where you feel, you sympathize with your brothers in Islam. So what kind of Ramadan will be your Ramadan? Have you felt with those who are living in the far, in countries far away from us that are suffering? It is inevitable to know that the Muslim should feel during his fasting the pain of thousands of Muslims. And his brothers all over the place. How thousands of stomachs are deprived of food and are hungry. Will anyone give them any food? And thousands are thirsty. Will anyone give them any drink? Thousands are naked. Will anyone give them any clothing? Have you felt the bounty of Allah upon you, that you're able to have suhoor and iftar and dress wherever you wish, and you are not deprived of any of these bounties in any way, shape or form? Ramadan is the month of blessings and goodness. So why don't you take advantage of Ramadan? And why don't you experience the pleasure of the Quran and the pleasure of calling on to Allah and worshipping Him? Why don't you try the time of pre-dawn, the time, the last third of the night? Why don't you throw yourself between the hands of your master as Allah Jalla Jalalu descends to the lowest heaven in a manner which befits His majesty every last third of the night, and He asks, is there anyone seeking forgiveness so I may forgive him, anyone supplicating so I may grant him an answer, or anyone asking for something so I may grant it to him? He said, but how sad is the condition of those who have been deprived and those who have turned the time of worship at the last third of the night and the time which is the time of istighfar into times of playing and watching TV and satellite channels and looking at singers and prostitutes, and how terrible is the condition of those. And you could see, if you're driving on Medina Road, you could see a billboard that has some 8 losers who they call Nujum. You know what Nujum means? Stars. These losers who are supposed to have special soap operas in Ramadan, pay attention, soap opera, movies, some nonsense about some woman loving another man, some crazy stuff that you wouldn't even want to watch outside Ramadan, let alone in Ramadan. But they put an advertisement that this is concerning the blessed month of Ramadan. So you could sit behind a TV channel and watch a bunch of losers talk about their loss in life while you leave alone worshipping and reciting the Qur'an. And this is the condition of many Muslims, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except those whom Allah has mercy on. They turn the month of Ramadan into a month of television, special programs, special movies, special whatever you call it, in the month of Ramadan. This is from the tricks of the shaitan. So my advice to you is, go get a glass of water or even a bucket and throw it over your satellite dish or your receiver and your television, or cut off the cord, because the shaitan will try to keep you behind the TV screen instead of being behind the book of Allah, the Quran. And Ramadan will come and go, and we are in the same condition, blaming it on everybody else instead of blaming ourselves. So brother, you don't need a TV. Not in Ramadan and not outside Ramadan. Human beings have survived billions of years without a television screen, and they lived just fine. They lived just fine. It was in these recent times where we have been brainwashed that how can you not have a TV in your house? If you don't have a TV, you're an extremist. Even though the time we have on our hands is short. How, when was the last time we visited our relatives? When was the last time you visited your neighbor? These are rights that they have upon us. So we don't fulfill the rights of the relatives, the neighbors, the rights of Allah, but we have time to watch television. And we don't even have, even if you didn't have a television, you don't have time. We barely have time to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let alone doing this while watching a soap opera, where they make it, 30 episodes in Ramadan. If you miss one, you miss the whole thing. So you find people cancelling out on lectures, on reminders, on even Taraweeh, in order not to miss a very important episode, which is the turning point in this particular soap opera. Something that is extremely foolish, but many of us are suffering from. So hopefully this reminder will be means for us to leave alone this nonsense. Don't make this Ramadan like the previous one. And each one of us knows that we said in the beginning we will do A, we will do B, C, D, and then once we were in 3-4 days into it, we went back to our old ways. And we left Ramadan without feeling that we had really fulfilled Allah's right. Without even feeling that we have even improved. And the biggest evidence is that once Ramadan is over, we go back to the old ways. Look at the condition of the masjid during Ramadan, and then look at the condition of the masjid after Ramadan. It's not the same. Had we already benefited from the month, then the same way you would be keen on praying in jama'ah in Ramadan, you would do the same thing outside Ramadan. But when you see 80% of the people disappear, know that these people did not benefit. Let's be frank. Had they benefited, then they would have remained upright on the deen of Allah until the next Ramadan came, so they will increase even more. Not so they will go back and doing the same old thing over and over again. We ask Allah to pardon us for our shortcomings. So then, the month of Ramadan is the month of taqwa. And we dealt with this in the khutbah last week. It is means for your sins to be forgiven. And fasting provides you with taqwa in two ways. The physical taqwa and the abstract one. And this is only if whoever has deficiency in one of them has not really fulfilled taqwa. Now the Shaykh did not elaborate on the meaning behind that. So Allahu A'lam what was intended. Either way, the ayah, all you who have believed, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those who came before you, so you may attain taqwa, and we know now what that means. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does not abandon false speech and acting according to it, then verily Allah is in no need that He leaves alone food and drink. Allah does not need you to be going on a diet to feel hungry. Rather, Allah wants us to attain taqwa from our fasting. In another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, perhaps a fasting person will attain nothing of his fast except hunger and thirst. And so that defeats the objective. Furthermore, the Salaf, our righteous predecessors used to say, the easiest aspect of fasting is leaving alone food and drink. That's the easiest part. The real part is by observing Allah's rights, fulfilling His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions, and safeguarding the fast from anything which will decrease its reward. So that means that you don't backbite, you don't gossip, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't get involved in forbidden transactions, you don't sleep during your shift at work. Well, you know, if you begin your sleep at home, then you go work so you can sleep under the table, just in case your boss walked in on you. Now you have a right, you have that you're supposed to be fulfilling a job at work. So you can't be sleeping during work, because I'm sure nobody gets paid for sleeping. So these are things that sometimes we take for granted, and we think it's alright, but it is not alright. If we have a job, then we need to fulfill this job to our best of our abilities. If we're feeling too tired at work, then we need to go to sleep early. If praying at night is making you not fulfill your job's right, then you can no longer pray at night. Because that is voluntary, and doing your job is an obligation. And whenever we have a conflict between obligations and voluntary acts, we give precedence to the obligations. So we don't want to, you know, do qiyam and then sleep during fajr. As the scholars say, if you pray tahajjud and you sleep for salatul fajr, you're not allowed to pray tahajjud anymore. Either you bring a relation between both, or you leave it alone, because fajr is an obligation, tahajjud is voluntary. So then the objective, brothers, is that we attain the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. Then he said, O people of joy and fooling around and playing, people of the television and the people of the programs and the so on and so forth, the competitions that they have on TV. He mentioned some narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I've never come across before. He said, Rawahu Ibn Hibban, Allahu A'lam if it's authentic or not. He said, anyways, the fasting is not fasting from eating and drinking, rather it is fasting from idle talk and false speech. And then, As-Sahabi Jalil Jabir ibn Abdullah, he used to say, if you fast, then let also your ears fast, and your sight fast, and your tongue fast from lying and that which Allah has made forbidden. So you can't be listening to some of these, you know, to songs, or to music, or a nasheed which contains musical instruments, or a nasheed which doesn't contain musical instruments, but the people singing sound just like the singers that you see on TV. And they are making vocals, but their vocals, they make that which is similar to musical instruments. The point is the same. This is idle talk. This is nonsense. It's from the tricks of the shaitan. So occupy yourself with listening to that which is beneficial. If you don't want to listen to the Quran, you can bring it by a lecture. Listen to a lecture in English, in Urdu, in any language you speak. Relevant to Ramadan or irrelevant to Ramadan. But let's keep our ears safe from listening to haram. And needless to say, don't come into the masjid with your cell phone with a Christmas song on your cell phone, as you hear often in the masajid, where the taraweeh will turn into just phones going off with musical ringtones. All this is to be avoided in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. and in Ramadan more so, because more people come to the masjid than elsewhere. And the second part of the, that was the second part of the khutbah. Okay, maybe he said some things there that were not in the paper. Ala kulli hal, that was the objective of the fast and the fasting in Ramadan and the qiyam. I'm sure inshallah in Ramadan he will be having more khutab dealing with how to deal with the actual qiyam perhaps, and then towards the last the night, then how to deal with Laylatul Qadr, i'tikaf, for those who want to observe i'tikaf, and other things related to the blessed month of Ramadan. Just an announcement before you leave. This coming Monday, inshallah ta'ala, there will be a lecture at the International Medical Center titled A Typical Day in Ramadan. Now this lecture is the same thing we had here on Tuesday. For those of you who came here on Tuesday, it's the same thing. So if you attended here, you don't have to attend. Either way, you don't have to attend in the one in the hospital. If you have not attended and you wish to know how you should conduct yourself in Ramadan in the whole 24 hours, then you may join us in this lecture, which is free, obviously, for everyone. It will be held this Monday, 24th of August, which will correspond with the 3rd of Ramadan, at 10:30 p.m. after Salatul Taraweeh in the International Medical Center. Okay, Al-Markaz Al-Tibbi Al-Duwali. If you wish to know the directions or something along these lines, then I can, you can speak to me inshallah after the khutbah translation. So anyone who wishes to attend is welcome. Both males and females are welcome to come. No infants, these who may cry during the lecture. Monday, 10:30 p.m. at the International Medical Center. Secondly, we will be having, as we mentioned and we agreed last week, classes in this masjid every Thursday after Taraweeh. Every Thursday after Taraweeh, dealing with various issues concerning Ramadan, fasting, praying, and perhaps a small Q&A session for whatever questions you may have that I happen to have answers for. And lastly, if you wish to listen to this again, or share it with others, or if you missed some lectures in the past, or you wish to know what's going on in the future in terms of da'wah, then you may go to the website www.onewaytoparadise.net. Okay, there are no numbers, just one word. One way to paradise. onewaytoparadise. onewaytoparadise.net. There's a lot of material, this and whatever was done last week and the week before and so on and so forth. So you're all welcome to attend. If your brothers have any questions that you think are urgent before the arrival of Ramadan, you may ask. If you just want to go home, barakallahu feekum.